Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Hi, everybody. It's our digital diary for today, Tuesday, February 1st of 2022. Now, the digital diary is where we give you a breakdown of what's coming up on today's live broadcast of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. It's our broadcast show number 664. Now, our theme throughout the month of February, of course, is all about honoring our ancestors, and we're talking about where we've come from and where we're going as a people. Now, on today's live edition, in the first hour, we're listening back to some of our recent fan favorite interviews. And, of course, we're marching towards our upcoming 700th live broadcast. And, of course, mid-show, we're talking about the tragic loss of Chesley, the young lady who was Miss America and so incredible. Well, her life touched everybody, and we'll have the latest. And then, of course, that's between 7 and 8 Eastern Time and 6 and 7 Central. and we're shifting gears. It's a brand new live episode of Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins. Now, he's got a great topic today, and of course, he's got Michael's Angels panel. We'll be helping him along the way. And as always, just a reminder, stay connected with us here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Sign up for a free website account over at www.hairadio.com. Again, that's pronounced hairradio.com. Our members have access to behind-the-scenes happenings at Hair Radio and so much more. And while you're there, you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio streaming network. You're going to love it. Now, that's the digital diary for today, Tuesday, February 1st of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, back to our show.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and today's topic is on the subject of hair loss. And we'd like to welcome to Hair Radio Dr. Linda Amerson. Doctor, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hines, for having me today.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Now, along with myself, you also, we have a special treat, Darlene Alexander, who is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc. Now, they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. Is on the line as well, and she'll be co-hosting with us. So a special treat for us and the listeners of Hair Radio. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Oh, thank you, Carrie, for having me here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, listen, we want to jump on in to this very, very big subject. And I guess the first thing that we probably want to do is to tell everyone that hair loss is so vast. And there's so many different parts to it. But if we must break it down and start at the beginning, and Darlene, you can certainly jump on in, but I'm thinking that, Dr. Amerson, maybe it would be a good idea for you to tell everyone about or what exactly is alopecia and the general topic of hair loss.
Okay, absolutely. Alopecia is the medical term for hair loss. And it is a very broad umbrella for several different categories of alopecia. And many consumers do not realize that. And sometimes that is not always conveyed in a very layman's term to them, that just because one person has one category, the other person may have something totally different or a combination of different types of alopecia. So what I do in my practice, I am a doctor of trichology, which means I have furthered my education, and my level is directly below dermatology and right above cosmetology and barber styling. So I actually get to the root of the problem by incorporating microscopes to give an accurate diagnosis. I look at internal factors as well as external factors, which is very, very important to have regrowth possible at all. Absolutely.
Now, would you tell us a little bit on what some of those internal factors might be?
Some of the internal factors may include nutrition. Now, nutrition is a very, very important factor. Other factors could be mechanical, such as the type of heat appliances that a person uses, whether it's the flat iron or the curling iron or the waving iron, et cetera. These are also contributors to some of the scalp damage and hair damage that I see on a daily basis.
Now, how much of this, just to kind of go back a little bit, Dr. Amerson, how much of this would you say is a real problem? Like, say, for the general public, do you have any idea how many people are actually suffering with hair loss, just overall, just an idea?
Yes, absolutely. The latest statistics is over 80 million Americans are affected with some form of alopecia.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing.
Now, Dr. Amerson, when you said that you stated about the types of alopecia, now, can a person also have two types of alopecia?
Oh, absolutely. There can be multiple types of alopecia and scalp disorders that occur simultaneously.
Okay.
For example, I've seen cases where they may have alopecia areata, they may have seborrheic dermatitis, they may have telogen effluvium, they may have inflammation of the scalp, erythema, pruritus, as well as hair breakage. So
yes.
So that is definitely a possibility.
Wow. Wow. Now, what are some of the treatments for these types of alopecia?
That depends on, I take it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
I look at the most, if it's in just a scalp condition, for example, if a person comes in and they complain about their scalp is just itching profusely, and I see bacterial infections on the scalp, I see hair breakage, hair thinning, inflammation, and pruritus, well, the most severe condition needs to be assessed first, which is the bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I will address first. Once that is cleared, the scalp is much healthier.
Right.
And then we can concentrate on the hair regrowth process. I find that so many consumers, they want to just focus on the hair regrowth.
Yes.
And they do not think the importance of the scalp is as vital as it should be. So that is something that I constantly have to educate my patients and other consumers, that a healthy scalp is the utmost vital to a healthy hair.
Wow. That is just very interesting, very interesting. Wow.
Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today the topic discussion is on hair loss, and I am co-hosting today's program with Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc., and they are the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. And you can, of course, reach them at heavenlyessence.net, and we'll be talking with Darlene a little bit more about that in just a little bit. Now, along with Darlene, I'm so very proud to have with us today a very special person. She is an expert in this arena. Her name is Dr. Linda Amerson. And, Doctor, we again welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure to have you. Now,
yes.
We so much appreciate a lot of the light that you're shedding on this. And we know it's a ginormous and vast topic, and there are so many different layers to this. What are some of the resources that you might suggest for someone who thinks that they are, you know, dealing with hair loss? Where might you direct them to find it?
I definitely suggest for them to seek an expert, such as a board-certified trichologist, to actually get to the root of the problem, because I find that so many consumers, they want to first ask their family members, they want to ask their friends, and then they go online and YouTube. So they look on YouTube, and there's a lot of misinformation that's on YouTube. And that's another thing that I educate my patients and clients on. Don't believe everything that you see on YouTube. There are so many concoctions that are on there, and then there are also a lot of non-professionals who are telling their journey of how they are transitioning from, you know, the relaxer to the natural hair, and they consider themselves experts, and they are not. What I find is I see, you know, quite a different, I would say, different ethnicities that come into my clinic. In the natural hair community, I get a lot of questions about their hair. Once I show them under my microscope that their scalp is unhealthy and that there are other conditions present there, they are just so amazed because they have been focusing so much on their hair, and their scalp has lacked the vital cleansing and proper care that will help with healthier hair growth and the hair just looking healthier overall. And
well, my big question to you, I was thinking all of this time, I'm thinking, is there anyone who would be able to avoid hair loss? It seems like hair loss affects almost everybody on some level or shape or form or fashion. So I was thinking, what could be done? Is there anything we can do to avoid hair loss? And then I just heard you mention about healthy hair and scalp, so I'm thinking that that's probably something that jumps out at me. But I'll ask you, Dr. Emerson, what are some of the things, if there's anything that we can do to, you know, kind of avoid having hair loss to begin with?
That is a question that it really depends on a case-by-case basis, because not everyone falls into the same category, and then there are also medical conditions that must be analyzed. There are several, another example, there are so many consumers that take prescription medications.
Yes.
Over 300 medications have a side effect of alopecia and hair thinning, and some of them even scalp conditions. So those must be factors. There must be factors as far as hairstyles. You know, we know that the lace front wigs are very, very prevalent. When a person starts to thin, they want to go to the hair coverings, the hair enhancements, instead of getting to the root of the problem, to seeing what's really causing or contributing to this. Is it nutritional? Is it medication? Is it the chosen hairstyle that they've been wearing for 10, 20 years and they haven't changed that look? So it really depends on a case-by-case basis. It's the best way I can answer that.
Yes. Okay. Now, Dr. Emerson, what about, you spoke about nutrition. What type do you recommend for people that who needs to improve their diet in order to have that healthy hair and healthy scalp?
Well, definitely avoiding as much fast foods and fried foods is one recommendation. Eating more fruits and vegetables, that will help. You're nourishing the body. So when you're nourishing the body, this also helps to feed the papilla, and this in turn can feed and nourish the hair and the scalp. So looking internally is one of the main factors. Also, enough protein in your diet.
Right.
Protein is very, very important. So those are just some of the recommendations that I would say.
Now also, Dr. Emerson, excuse me, now let's say the person is getting the right types of foods and fruits and vegetables and the adequate amount of protein, but they're still losing their hair. the one thing I had, I just wanted to find out if this is a myth or if it's or if it is fact. When there's an organ in our body that is lacking certain nutrition, aren't those vitamins and nutrients going to go to that organ before it goes to the hair follicle?
Absolutely. The body is going to absorb and distribute the nutrition internally first. And if something is lacking, yes, it's going to give that particular organ or area inside the body more of the nutrients that that needs. So whatever is left over will be transported through the bloodstream to nourish the hair and scalp. And in many cases, it is not enough nutrition that's being absorbed into the system. And this is something that I can see microscopically under my polarized microscope.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Well, Dr. Emerson, just wanted to talk a little bit specifically on if you could explain briefly maybe about the areata, the alopecia areata, if you will. We have a couple of guests who will be joining us in just a little bit, and we wanted to talk a little bit more about that as well.
Yes, alopecia areata is most commonly known as an autoimmune type of alopecia condition. The onset has many different triggers. Sometimes I have seen family members who have had this particular condition, and then it is predisposed. So there may be a generation that this particular condition may skip, and then the grandchildren may be affected. I've seen many cases of that. And then sometimes trauma to the scalp is a trigger. And excessive emotional stress can be another trigger. So that particular condition affects over 10% of the American population. So this is something I see very, very common in men, women, as well as children.
Now, what about the diffuse alopecia?
The diffuse alopecia occurs when the hair begins to shed excessively, and there are usually long strands that will be combed out or either fall out of the hair. When a person may run their fingers through their hair, and they notice an excessive amount of hair in their hand. This is known as diffuse alopecia. That is usually from an internal cause.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, again, we'd have to go back maybe 3 months to see what may have occurred during that time frame, because usually the cycle, when it affects the hair, it takes approximately 3 to 4 months for us to really see an indication that there was some type of change or systemic problem or something that may have occurred within their system, and then we see it at a later time within the hair strand.
Okay.
Wow. Well, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and I'm co-hosting today with the great Darlene Alexander. And we both have on the line with us Dr. Linda Emerson, who has been providing some great foundation of knowledge for us in terms of hair loss and some of the myths that are out there and kind of dispelling those. Dr. Emerson, first of all, again, we want to thank you so very much for being with us today on the Hair Radio Show. And is there anything that, you know, in the way of maybe kind of closing out that we would be able to, you know, maybe inspire or to, you know, is there anything that's new on the way that we can say, hold on to those folks out there who are dealing with, you know, so very much on the subject of hair loss and dealing with this?
Well, you know, research is constantly ongoing. The last research that I was informed about that is taking place is with a product, the Lactice product. It was very popular for helping to grow the eyelashes several years ago. Well, then there is some testing that has been ongoing to see if it will also assist with the scalp hair regrowth. So that's something that's on the way. And at this time, that's the only product that I am aware of that's considered new in the market.
Well, we're going to tell everyone to keep it right here and tuned in to Hair Radio, and we will certainly let everyone know of any breakthroughs on the subject. And Dr. Emerson, how would folks find you if they're interested in looking and following up with you?
Absolutely. I can be contacted. My clinic is LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am at 2304 West Pioneer Parkway, Suite Number 6 in Arlington, Texas. My phone number is 817-265-8854. That's 817-265-8854. My website is hairandscalpessentials.com. That's hairandscalpessentials.com. My email is dramerson@hairandscalpessentials.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is @scalpdoctor. Also, I'm on Facebook, Dr. Amerson's Therapeutic Essentials, LLC. All of those medias, I may be contacted.
And you can always come to Hair Radio and ask us how to find Dr. Amerson as well, and we will certainly connect them as well. Dr. Amerson, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today and just beginning, and I'm hoping that you'll come back as we move a little further along with this subject and come back to the Hair Radio show and share some more of your wonderful insight.
Absolutely. It will be my pleasure to return. And again, thank you so much for this opportunity, Mr. Hines and Ms. Darlene Alexander. Thank you also.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have two very special guests joining us today. Well, they're from the world of education. It is my honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Joel A. Freeman and welcoming for the very first time Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. We are honored to be with you this morning.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you, Carrie. We love being here and looking forward to our time together.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Dr. Freeman, we're going to kick off with you. You were kind enough to help us kind of launch the Hair Radio Morning Show 5 years ago, literally hundreds of episodes of this broadcast ago. And we're so excited because many of our listeners, you've touched folks around the world with your story. And so we're going to remind everybody about that, but I just wanted to officially welcome you back to the broadcast and how we were able to use that wonderful, wonderful interview as a great foundation for pushing us forward, and we're still here today. I think that's a big part of that. So thank you.
Well, I'm very thrilled at what you're doing and how you've done it, your integrity, your stick-to-itiveness, and it's an inspiration to all of us.
Wonderful. Well, listen, again, welcome to the show. And now I have to turn also to Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. You are from the Rochester, New York area, and you are, when I tell you, I was just blown away at your story when I started to do some research. School superintendent for years, literally. Office. Yes. So education, to put it mildly, is important. So, Dr. Milton, I have to get in there. What, you know, where did this come from, this whole, you know, this journey that you are on, that you've been on? And it's, I'm going to call it a track, I think, you know. So where did this come from in terms of jumping into the education or on the education wagon, I should say?
Well, you know, I had two teachers that impacted my life in ways in which you can one could never imagine. I had a teacher by the name of Adam Urbanski. He was a gentleman from Poland, and he talked about history. He was one of my high school history teachers, and he taught history in a way that you can only fall in love with. And he talked about the movers and shakers of history, the carriers of information, and how we have to learn to deconstruct things and find ourselves in the whole cloak of history. So he planted a major seed in me. Then I had a science teacher. Her name was Cassandra Frierson. And Cassandra Frierson said that I'm part of a history that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And I was so glad to meet her because I had an experience in elementary school that my teacher attempted to teach black history, but she started off in slavery. And what happened, it had ushered so much shame and humiliation for me. So that those early years of my life, I was on this quest to find out some truths in history and where I played a role. And Dr. Frierson, or Cassandra Frierson, she said that my past is inexplicably tied to the beginning of time. And so as a result of those two individuals, I went into education, became a teacher, a principal, and then a school superintendent, and decided to step down and start my own company. And then it happened again. And when it happened this time, I said, I'm going to take action. When this whole quest and this desire and this love and passion for history came out, I said, I'm going to do something about it. So Joel Freeman was the first person that I've called. Joel has been a close friend of mine for many years, and I know that he is the curator of many African-American artifacts. And I said, Joel, would you go on this journey with me, man? And he didn't hesitate. Here we are, 2.5, almost 3 years later, with a final product, a finished product, rather. And our goal is to share our love letter to the world. I mean, this is our divine purpose and our mission as to why we exist.
And that is the reason that you guys are here today. And that is to introduce us to this amazing new book. And I'm going to have to thank you, Dr. Milton, for that. I'm going to have to turn now to Dr. Freeman. I'm going to ask you, Dr. Joel A. Freeman, first of all, again, welcome to the show. And just want to say we are going to turn to you to talk about this amazing new book. We want to make sure and get that on out there, Black History, An Inclusive Account of American History. Tell us about this book.
Yes, as Dr. Milton mentioned, it's a labor of love. It's 1,248 pages, weighs 5.5 pounds, has well over 2,500 images throughout, and about 500 of those images come straight from the collection my wife and I own. We own over 3,000 items. Documents and artifacts. Oldest piece dates back to 1553.
Wow.
And so we have put together, Walter and I, as he mentioned, we worked for about 2.5 years, putting in 12, 16-hour days and working. I'm telling you, it was just like Groundhog Day every day, just working at it and then going to sleep and working some more the next day and just day after day. So it was just both of us look at it right now and just go, we don't even know how it happened, except God's fingerprints are all over it. And we started in ancient Africa. And the reason why we started in ancient Africa is because we did not want to reinforce the notion, either implicitly or explicitly, that slavery was the beginning of black history. We wanted to talk about the mores, the folkways, the hunting, the gathering, the fishing, the industry, the agriculture, the ancient African kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines. And now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the last four centuries. And even when we get into slavery and the slave trade, we have a whole section just about slave rebellions. We talk about the trickery used. And we have actual stories of how people were tricked into coming on the ship, and or to be kidnapped to get on the ship. So we wanted to give a whole different view about this that is not normally given, at least that we could find. And then there's a gentle timeline that takes us all the way through to the struggle for civil rights. We then, once we have included that, then we get into the whole area of the economic system. We talk about arts, entertainment. We have a section on sports, black quarterbacks, the integration of the NBA. And then we have a whole section on 50 states. And it's where we provide some insights into black history in each state. So whatever state a listener is from, there will be some specific just a showcasing of what has happened in their particular state. Then the final unit is all about the North Star. It's over 100 pages where we have a timeline from 1491 on that describes all that happened, our interaction between United States and Canada. And then we tell stories, we share stories from mid-1800s from a book called Refugees that a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Drew went north, and he interviewed a lot of people, and then he put 114 stories, their life stories, into the book. And so in our textbook, we start in Vancouver all the way over to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and everything in between. The Don Settlement with Josiah Henson, and so on and so forth. So it's really a wonderful way to show how people from the South, many suffered from Stockholm Syndrome, many just, just the whole, how does a person leave not knowing where they're going to be going and if they're going to get caught and maybe get killed or, get chastised in horrific ways. And then the fugitive slave laws pushing them into Canada. So we really Walter and I have put together a book that the response we've been getting from around the country has truly been heartwarming, and we are very grateful to be the instruments used to be able to help put this together. And, of course, as we've expanded after the writing was done, our wives are very much a part of this project, and we're grateful to them. And then more people came on that helped with curriculum design, with search engine optimization, media relations, professional development, and many other aspects that helped to, we now have a team of over 75 people that have helped to bring this to bear.
Well, I'm going to say I think you have at least 76. I'm on board, too. Make sure and add me on
okay.
in to that list. I saw that quite extensive list on your site. I was, at ph365.org. I was quite impressed. Listen, I want to make sure I get the title right. I don't. I think I just introduced it as Black History, but it's actually Black History 365. An inclusive
correct.
Account of American history. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, we landed on 365 because many times people view Black History Month as the main time to talk about Black history. But we decided that this is something that is an inclusive account of American history. That's the subtitle. And we also quote from a gentleman on the back cover. He's a quote on the back cover. His name is James Baldwin. He said, "American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it." And that's really, when Walter and I saw that quote, we just said, that's got to be on the cover. It's because that encapsulates what we have done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to say, as a matter of fact, Dr. Milton, I was going to ask you, being, of course, an educator as you are, and being out in the school system, how did that play a part? Because I just imagine that you were close, you were real, you had a real front row seat to what the kids needed, to what the students needed to learn. So I'm going to ask you, how did that play a part, or did it play a part in how you kind of, decided to come up with this idea that you guys have, worked on?
Well, it played a major part. What I saw in my years of education and what I still see now in working with school systems across the country is that there's a direct correlation with the lack of culturally competent instruction and educational approaches to the negative impact that has on student achievement. We also discovered that the lack of historical content has been a significant influencer of negative outcomes for Black students and communities, including lack of self-awareness, lack of self-esteem, lack of intrinsic motivation, decreased academic achievement, truancy, discipline referrals, and even some cases, some criminal activity, because what we found when our young people, not only Black children, but all children, when they have an understanding of who they are, where they came from, and the impact that their ancestors had made on this world, it just increases all the negative things to turn right into the positives, because we make that connection. And so what we found and discovered that the world, particularly America, is begging for something like this because of the past, our history that we have, and how those things still impact us to this day. So we wanted to really look at those things. We really wanted to look at the whole impact of the incarceration system and how that connected to education. And what we found is that there's this critical gap. And we believe that we have a solution for this gap. One of the things that we really focus on, and Joe will probably talk about that a little later, I'll just introduce the concept, but we said we need to develop critical thinkers, compassionate listeners, fact-based, respectful communicators, and action-oriented solutions. And we believe that BH365 will serve as an impetus to make that happen and to make our world a better place here in America, and to bring about a great deal of healing because we clarify things and misconceptions that we've been operating on for many years.
That's just, I'm blown away. And I have to say, Dr. Milton, and I was really touched, and I know we're here, we're going to absolutely get into every single aspect of Black History 365, you guys' new book, which is being used in the schools. But I have to draw some attention to when I came across one of your earlier books that talked about this. The title is A Matter of Life or Death, Why Black Men Must Save Black Boys in America's Public Schools. And I know you've written a couple of books, but that was I read a little bit of the synopsis, and I was just very impressed. So thank you for all the work that you are doing, that both of you are doing, on this incredible, incredible topic that, believe me, even, you know, I could put this on every day, you know, for years, and it would still just be scraping the surface of what needs to be done. But it's a wonderful thing to do as much research, and you guys can hear it. You've done a lot of research. I see the work, and it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So thank you both for that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, well, very much welcome. Well, listen, if you guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's my pleasure to welcome these two incredible educators to Hair Radio. And Dr. Joel A. Freeman, he's been with us before. We're so excited to welcome him back. It's been 5 years. And he's joined, of course, or we're joined, with Dr. Walter Milton, Jr., who we're also excited, a New Yorker, a fellow New Yorker, to the broadcast. And now, Dr. Freeman, you're in Maryland area, correct? Aren't you still out in Maryland?
Yes, not far from Annapolis.
Okay. And so we have a lot to talk about, because just trying to catch everybody up a little bit, and then I have some more questions for you, Dr. Milton. But just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Dr. Freeman, I recall that you started off early on, and you were a chaplain for, wasn't it the NBA? And you did all these amazing things and just had such I think it was, well, what seemed on that interview, just a deep understanding for folks at an early age. And that's what I got from that. And I was just quite impressed and went on to create that whole space with all these artifacts that you have that chronicle the lives of folks all the way to Africa and here. And so I'm just very impressed and, you know, just happy to have you here. So what can you tell us about your collection these days? Anything? Of course, we've got your book, which is going to be a big part of that, Black History 365. But what else can you tell us about the collection that you have amassed all of this? And I know you have pictures inside the book, inside of Black History 365.
Yes. Yeah, it's a big part of the book and a big part of, I think, the contribution, because it's exclusively available to the book, the images. There's now over 4,000 high-resolution images.
Amazing.
And anyone who tries to put together something like this without images, it's just very difficult. And what people, when we went to the printers in Ohio who manufactured this book, one of the young men, I don't know how long he'd been working there, but maybe a decade or two or close, 15 years maybe, and we were just talking with him, and he says, when I came in this morning, I thought I was working on a National Geographic project. and so the collection is made up of over 3,000 items. We've done two exhibits at the United Nations. We had over 1 million visitors. I've done three in concert with the White House. I've done two at the Clinton Presidential Library. I've done a number with Secret Service at their headquarters in D.C. and a number of other venues around the country. And it's just been wonderful. And when Walter called me about this project, I didn't have to think about it, because I knew intuitively that I had been building this collection, and it's perfect for a curriculum in terms of the types of items. I would pass over 200 items to get to that 201st item that would help tell the story. And so I was very selective about the items that I collected and brought together. So it's kind of a unique type of collection, and I think when people get the textbook and they start looking at the images, especially the first two units, because the first two units are about ancient Africa and slavery and the slave trade. So I have a number of items. For instance, I have one item when I was in Elmina Castle in Ghana on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean. And I met with the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set of shackles, an actual set of shackles from Elmina Castle. And I was truly humbled and honored by that, because I don't think they did that very often.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of stories behind many of the pieces of the collection. Just had over 75 given to me, and you know, had to acquire a lot of things myself. But this gentleman, his father worked for TWA Airlines.
Well, so did I. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yes, small world.
So he was responsible for all the continent of Africa back in the 40s and I think the 50s, right in that range. And he had, of course, being with working in the airline and into Africa, he had many people sourcing original artifacts. We're not talking about stuff for tourists. I mean, original, like doors on a chief's hut, you know, and shackles and masks and figurines and all sorts of items. Well, his dad passed away. Of course, his dad, working at the airline, could ship it back to California.
Sure.
And when he passed away, my friend told me, he said, I'm going to make sure that there's a number of these that are in your collection. He had this sense of urgency, and my friend Pat passed away about 3 months ago, he had this urgency to get these items to me, and he wasn't even sick, you know, just had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. And so I feel very honored, and am holding those items very carefully, and we have some of them pictured in the textbook in honor of him and his family.
Wow, that's very nice. I have to say, just when I look at this amazing book, Black History 365, and you mentioned 1,248 pages, I have to wonder about the schools. Like, how have the folks received this book, the textbook? How, Dr. Milton, let's ask you that. How has it been received by the teachers and the students, for that much?
They have received the book extremely well. Many of them are not only saying that this is for 9th through 12th grade students, many of them are saying this engages all ages. This should be a book that's in every household across this country, in particular, and in general across the world, because it had so many features. It really does. Also, Morehouse College down in Atlanta is going to be one of the first colleges launching the textbook in January. We are also in a conversation with Hampton University in Virginia that's going to do that. And then we have had a number of people who have purchased personal copies of the textbook. So we believe that it has this book throughout the pages. It's a healing mechanism. I just want to quickly go back, if you can indulge me for a quick second, to talk about these images. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with Joel, but it was an extremely tedious task to find the images. And he, like he said, he would go through 200 images just to get to that 201 to say, hey, this is it here. I mean, it wasn't anything that was easily done. I mean, it was arduous and it was daunting. And in some cases, I saw and felt the pain that he went through just to make sure that it was beyond excellent. Because the images not only tell a story, the images bring the words alive of that book.
Wow. I'm blown away. I love as you respond to this, and you're just painting an amazing picture of Black History 365. Now, how do folks find this book, Dr. Milton? How do folks get their hands on a personal copy or an edition for, you know, like you said, it should be in every household?
Absolutely. Well, we're asking the world to go to bh365.org. That's bh365.org. And one of the major features that we have in the book, besides the many QR codes, because we wanted to have a strong integration of technology, we've also embedded music in the book from award-winning Grammy producer by the name of Dr. Kevin Cates, affectionately known as K.O. And K.O. has developed 40 songs. He's a producer for Jay-Z, T.I., Rick Ross, Drake, Snoop Dogg, and a host of others. So we have an expert who has put together amazing songs, and he got the words from the text. And they are just powerful. I mean, they will bring tears to your eyes.
Is this kind of like a soundtrack for the book?
Yes, yes, you can definitely say that. And as Joel said, we have a Hamilton in the making.
I see.
Yeah,
wow.
I call it an anthology of Black history, because basically what we've done is, you know, he's doing a song for each chapter, lifting lyrics from the text itself and the concepts surrounding the text. And so you start in ancient Africa and bring it all the way up to George Floyd, some of the things that are happening in our culture today. It's like ripping pages out of the headlines, the way we've done it. And then we have an e-book version that is available, and so that will allow us to even add more items, you know, as things happen in our culture, so that we can continue to keep it updated in the e-book version.
And that's important, right, always to make sure that, I keep going back to, I forget whose book it was, but I like that word living, like living history. It just keeps on going, and I love that. I have to tell you, this is just amazing. We're talking with the authors of this amazing book, the folks behind Black History 365, this amazing, incredible book. We're talking with Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. So we're real excited to have them with us today. 1,248 pages. This is a huge book, but it is packed with so much information and knowledge that we need. And I can't say it enough. I really can't. I think this is a game changer out there. Dr. Freeman, why was this so necessary, though? You know, there are tons of books. Folks will say, I saw the books that were out there when I was in school, and those history books seem just fine. What do you say to folks who say something like that, Dr. Freeman?
Well, every time there is a racially charged incident in America, there are some very smart people, passionate people who get on TV. You know, we affectionately call them talking heads. And you can almost, if you're running a betting game, you could bet that someone's going to say, in so many words, we need to have a national conversation around the topic of race relations in America. And one gets the sense that 3 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, perhaps that same person will be saying the same thing. And, people protest in different ways. We have comedians who use comedy expertly to protest. Some write books. Some will write poetry. We remember the protest songs of the 60s and the protesting in rap music and hip-hop music. And some protest by demonstrating, marching. The way Walter and I protest is by putting in the 2.5 years, 12, 16-hour days to come up with a solution to the education gap in America. Our protest is we look at it in terms of solutionist approach, so that we can start these conversations. So we have something in the textbook that is proprietary to BH365, is we have something called the Elephant Experience. Now, the Elephant Experience, and we could spend a whole show just talking about the Elephant Experience, but it's a whole idea of, we have these topics that people don't like talking about. It's uncomfortable. and topics that cause some people to talk at or past each other. Some people block each other on Facebook or other types of social media. And so what Walter and I wanted to do is to come up with a process. Cause why an elephant? You know, connection with Africa. Hey, there's an elephant in the room. Probably your favorite joke in second grade was, hey, how do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time, one bite at a time. So there has to be a process, a schema, a methodology for dealing with the elephant. And then, of course, the hippocampus of an elephant is extremely large, and their EQ matches and rivals that of chimpanzees and some species of dolphins. So it has to be something that's sticky, something that is that engages, not just momentarily, but for the long term. So that's what we did. So topics such as 3/5 of a human being, Uncle Tom, the N-word, reparations, are we in a post-racial society after having a black president for two terms? Can a white person ever truly understand the black experience in America? Scientific racism, lynching, and should we tear the statues down? Things like that, topics like that, that we have a certain process that is a healing process, not a divisive process, where students can be, where we have professional development trainers that train the teachers in setting the environment so the students can create an environment that allows for these topics to be dealt with in a way that is beneficial. And where there there's a binary choice, we have QR codes that provide the pro and the con, you know, the for and against views. And so it invites people outside of their confirmation bias bubbles and gets them into a realm where they begin to see the other side, and or at least hear the other side. And then using the Socratic method, the students engage around it and come up with individual or perhaps even collective understanding about something. So to get back to your original question, the need for something like this, and the response we're getting from principals, from educators, from superintendents, from people who have, historians. I was talking with a historian the other day, and he was saying he's up to page 500 already.
Oh, wow.
In the textbook.
Wow.
And he was saying that he was just delighted. He said, oh, my goodness. He's checking out the QR codes. He's engaging with it. And he just said, I just cannot believe a resource like this is finally available. This is what I've been talking about all my life, and a resource like this.
Absolutely.
So, when it comes to the distinctives, we believe that we have something that is very uniquely crafted. It's designed for healing. It's truth-centric. It has the music attached to it. It has QR codes, so it's engaging with technology. We start in ancient Africa, so we're not reinforcing implicitly or explicitly the notion that black history started slavery. So we bring all these elements together that we've discussed, and we brought it into one textbook. Now, we're also planning to create a K through 8, so K2, 3, 5, 6, 8 grade bands. Those are coming. And we're using the 9 through 12 textbook, which, by the way, engages all ages. We're using that backbone information to then be contextualized in the 6 through 8, 3 through 5, and K through 2 programs. So now, getting back to how I started this response, now we're starting to get people, to kids, to start talking about the tough topics in a contextualized manner from kindergarten on. And hopefully we'll be able to measure results with the students, the teachers, and perhaps even the parents. And, 3 years from now, 5 years, 12 years from now, to see what kind of impact this can have on our society that is so polarized politically, and to really get people to engage coming through the lens and the gateway of history, which an inclusive account of a history, so that we can somehow see healing happen in our country.
I totally agree. I was thinking as you were just explaining that, I'm thinking to myself as well, you know, that's the thing. We're all, you know, when we look back at how when we were in school and taught history, and it really does, I hate to say, but it really, that's kind of where you, what you get is, you know, for Black history, anything that's relating to Black culture is usually starting with slavery. And so I so appreciate what you have just described in Black History 365. I so appreciate it because just to be able to connect back to Africa and just see a place in, you know, how, you know, folks of Black descent, just African descent rather, just figure into everything. So it's amazing to me, and I have I'm kind of blown away just to talk to you about it. So I'm excited for folks to get their hands on Black History 365. It is important. It's an important book. So what else is there out there? You and Dr. Milton, as you mentioned, there is music involved in all of this as well. Can I get my hands on some of this so I can play some of those songs on the Hair Radio Morning Show? We'd love to get some of those music files over here. That
well, it's awesome. It's probably, the music is so good, and I can't wait till you hear it. And I think that maybe Joe and I could send you a demo copy for your
Absolutely.
Ears only,
okay.
Because it's going through the process of being produced and recorded, and so we're going through all the legal aspects of that. But in the meantime.
Yes.
Yeah, we can give you something that you could look forward to coming out, and I think that we would love to have you once we get the green light to play it on your show, because it's going to be a Grammy award producing set of music, and I give all the accolades to God first, but I give them to KO. Who was used by God to do this, to do this work. I mean, the music is incredible. And as the kids say, it is highly dope. So,
awesome.
So
awesome.
I think that, yeah, you're going to love it. You really are. And, you know, Joel and I are just so honored that you allowed us to be here today to share this, one of the most passionate things in our lives, you know, Black history. And Joel talked about us being utilized as a vessel. You know, we had many moments that we worked throughout the day, and we'll talk, you know, how do we get here? How do we do this? Where did this come from? And we just know that this was all divinely inspired. It really was.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I'm going to just, before we close out on this part today, I definitely want to just make sure everybody is aware of, again, how to get their hands on Black History 365, your website. Please give us that again. You know, Dr. Freeman, Dr. Milton, please tell everybody how to get their hands on this amazing book.
Yes, BH365.org. BH365.org.
Okay, and that is just awesome. And we're real happy about that. Yes, indeed. And also, just to let everybody know that you guys, this is not the end of Black History 365 on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm so happy and honored that you guys are here. You know, we're announcing right now just an interview arc where we're going to have a few shows at this time, and then we're going to roll out something long-term that kind of can, you know, take parts of this amazing book. We're going to say Black History 365 is the name, and we're going to cover it a little bit more in depth. We wanted to just kind of do a quick introduction, if you will, and talk about some of the things that are inside of this amazing book. And I've got to tell you, we're going to be able to get into some of, before I let you guys go today, we're going to tease this because I want to get your opinion of things that are happening today and how you can tie them to Black History 365, Black History 365, and I know that you can. And we're going to have that a little later for you guys, or we'll put it on our website as well. So that's just a nice little tidbit that we'll get into a little later. But first, again, I want to thank you. Before we go, Dr. Freeman, why don't we start with you? Is there any last thoughts or anything you want to kind of close out this portion today of our interview? Anything you want to leave us with? Like those amazing sayings that you used to have. You used to give us all these wonderful sayings that I always love. Anything that you want to tell us today?
Well, I think that the main thing I wanted that comes to my mind right now is that this textbook is transcendent. You know, as we say in the subtitle, an inclusive account of American history.
Inclusive.
And so the whole idea of the term inclusive, I want everyone who's listening to realize that this is an opportunity to engage all ethnicities and ages, you know, in terms of young and older generations, different backgrounds. Some come from more urban areas and some come from more rural areas, socioeconomic aspects. We've tried to include everything. Plus, when it comes to STEAM or STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and I like to put in arts and then M for mathematics, we've provided different aspects. Sorry?
No, I was saying yours is STEAM, not just STEM.
Yeah.
STEAM, like that.
That's right, STEAM. There's STEM and STEAM, and I prefer STEAM. But it's so if people are looking for this to engage on all aspects, you know, we have some very interesting topics. I was talking with someone just recently, and she was saying that she says, "Well, I'm an educator," and she said, "My response to this once I started looking at it is I don't really know that much," and we don't want that to be the takeaway, but we want it to be the incentive that when people approach this topic, you know, and we talk about the Great Migration to the North and then to the West, you know, that in all the different topics, the Harlem Renaissance, and we even have a whole section in there, Carrie, that I think you'll love, is what about taking back the hair care and beauty industry?
Well, that's coming up in our next segment.
We have a whole section on that.
I thought I'd
bring
that on you a little later. Yes.
So that's on my mind. That's all. It's the inclusive nature of the textbook. Walter?
Textbook 365.
Well, yes, I just wanted to say we didn't have an opportunity to talk about our advisory board, but hopefully we can do that next time we come back on. We have incredible people like Kathy Hughes, Benjamin Crump.
All my favorite folks. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Agabriar Bryson, the grandson of, I mean, great-grandnephew of Annie Malone.
Yeah.
You'll know
yeah.
Annie Malone. Joel has done a lot of extensive work regarding her and a host of other wonderful people. But I want to leave with celebrating you, Carrie, because I know that you bring so many people, you give so many accolades, you know, through your work. But I want to give you an accolade. You know, just my short time of knowing you and hearing about you and researching you as well, you are truly a merchant of hope. You carry hope for so many people's lives, you know, and I can hear that hope in your voice, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And I just want to wish you the best always.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. It means a lot. I appreciate that. And I have to tell you, when I hear those names and, you know, Kathy Hughes, she's been my, you know, starting out in radio and being one of my favorite folks in radio. And back when I didn't see many folks who are African-American doing that and just being such a big forerunner out there. I'm just blown away. And Benjamin Crump has been on my show. He's been on our broadcast just like you guys. And so I had a chance to chat with him, of course. And even Akbar, I think the gentleman, I've chatted with him as well. So, and Annie Malone, all of this comes full circle. So I just have to say I'm blown away. And again, I want to thank you guys personally. This book is important, Black History, 365. The website is bh365.org. You need to get a copy of this book. And we're going to make sure that you do that. And if you need to be put in touch, and I got to say this last thing, Dr. Freeman, I have to say, I had told everybody, I'd put it out on Facebook that you were coming back to the show, and I posted all this about Black History 365, the book and the picture and all of that. And my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, who the listeners out there know, he's been with us many times. He's a trained economist and all of this. He's deep in history, studying all of this. And he rarely, you know, pipes up to ask me about anything. You know, he sees my radio show, you know, guests from time to time. This is the only time he said, you must introduce me to Dr. Freeman. He didn't know about you at that time, Dr. Milton.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And I said, I kid you not, he said to make sure. So I said, well, when I speak with you, I'm going to get your permission, but I'm going to introduce him to you guys because I think that he's, Dr. Leroy Hines, he's been out there, and as I said, the listeners know, he always comes on and gives us all kind of, you know, in terms of current affairs and all that wonderful good stuff. But I have to say, I think he's definitely, you guys, you're definitely going to have a great time. That's all I can say. This is...
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right, everybody. We're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I just love Tuesday mornings. It's our show number 664. We are live today. It's February 1st of 2022. I had a little bit of a technical issue there, so we finally figured everything out, and we are back. And just as a reminder, we're live every day. You never know what's going to happen. I guess that makes the thrill of it quite all that more exciting. So I want to kind of bring to the line everybody. It's mid-show. It's about 7:24 in the morning as we kick off February 1st and a month of celebrating Black culture with Black History Month, of course. Let me bring to the line Michael Hopkins. He's coming up at about 8:30 Eastern Time today, and we wanted to kind of get him on to talk about some of the things that he'll be talking about in just a bit. So just bear with us for a moment while we do that. Michael, good morning. Good morning, sir.
Morning, good morning.
All right, from Vet Talk Radio Show, you are the host. What can you tell us is coming up at about 8:30 Eastern Time today?
This morning, Carrie, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be talking about the top reasons why veterans must file for claims. And it's going to be an exciting show today.
Okay, go right ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's going to be an exciting show.
Oh, yes, it's going to be an exciting show because there are some reasons why it is so very compelling that a veteran files for claims. You know, a lot of times people don't think that they have a case to file. A lot of veterans don't think so. I mean, it can run the gambit of things. Some veterans think, well, maybe things that happened to me while I was on active duty, it's not really, I don't think I should file. Well, many times they should file. Many times. They may think, oh, I can't find my medical records from active duty, so therefore, I don't think I'll file. Or they'll have family members say it's a waste of time for them to file. Or they'll have a friend that said, well, I didn't get anything, so I wouldn't file if I was you. Oh, it's just a waste. Well, you know what, Kerry Hines? It's not
What's
a
that,
waste.
What's that, Michael Hopkins?
It is not
it's
a waste.
It's not a waste. Wow. Well, I cannot wait to hear some of these amazing reasons that these vets should file. So we're going to tune in today about 8:30 Eastern. But I also know we're not the only ones kicking off Black History Month here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I understand that you guys over at Vet Talk Radio Show will be doing something special. Do you want to tell us about it?
Oh, yes, we will. One of our producers, that's Nicole, has come up with some fantastic things that she's done her research, and she always does her research when it comes to something. She puts her heart and soul into it, and
that
she's
she
come up with some fantastic things for Black History Month, and I'm just
awesome.
Looking forward to it also, just to hear her talk about it.
Okay, we're all going to tune in today about 8:30 Eastern right here on this very, very broadcast. So please stay with us throughout today's show. I'm really excited to have everybody back. Glad we took care of the little tech issue earlier. We should be set to roll. We're going to take a little bit of a music break while we kind of adjust things going into the mid-show. I want to get, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this awful tragedy here. So it's a little bit of sad talk, but her life was just amazing, and she had a chance to share that with us. Of course, we're talking about Chesley, Miss America, who passed away in just a couple of days. So we're a couple of days ago. So we're going to talk about that. But mental health, Michael, I know you wanted to jump in on some of the mental health topics. So I want you to kind of stick around with us, okay? And following the music break and just kind of shifting it a bit, we'll get you back on to kind of weigh in on mental health, which is going to be a big part of our broadcast in the coming months. Are you able to do that?
Oh, sure will, Kerry. I mean, it's mental health, especially in the veteran community. Definitely will stand by.
Oh,
most definitely.
Awesome. All right, folks. Keep it right here for much more of the Hair Radio Show. Here are a couple of commercials and a little music break. Thank you.
Hi, I'm
Jossie
from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mist, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from root to end. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention, she praises an image, she prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining, deep within the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. Discover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for girls eat nothing. She says beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. With a little bit of hunger, I can go a little while longer. She
back live. That was Scars the Beautiful, of course. Listen, I'm Carrie Hines. It's Tuesday morning, February 1st of 2022. We've been kind of chatting off and on this morning mid-show. Again, we're live. It's show number 664, and I've it's almost kind of unbelievable to even say that number, 664 live 3-hour broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we've kind of been chatting. He's coming up a little later at 8:30 Eastern with his own 30-minute show for veterans and helping. Michael Hopkins been helping me this morning to kind of bridge our mid-show today. And Michael, I'm glad to have you kind of joining us here to talk about Vet Talk Radio Show, but also wanted to talk a little bit about mental health. And in your case, you always talked about PTSD. So I've got a clip of what you said way back on the very, very first broadcast. I think you came to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So let me get that on, Michael Hopkins, and then we'll talk about what you said and how it relates. So take a listen. So about 30 seconds.
Not only do I suffer with physical challenges, I also suffer sometimes with mental challenges. And
wow.
you go into denial as a veteran. A lot of us have PTSD. A lot of civilians don't know what PTSD is. And it's post-trauma of an event that has happened to you as a veteran. And we all think, as well, civilians think, it's because of combat duty. I was in Iraq, Afghanistan. I was in the Gulf or Vietnam. And what people don't understand is that us as veterans, we don't necessarily have to have been in a combat zone to have post-trauma, to have a traumatic injury happen to us.
Wow. That's a clip from your first appearance, Michael Hopkins. And we're back live, of course. Again, it's February 1st, 2022, show 664. It's about 7:36 in the morning, New York time. So, Michael Hopkins, when that plays and the spotlight is back on mental health these days with the tragic loss of Miss America suicide and here in New York. And we're talking about, of course, that of Chesley Crist, who passed away just this past week. And so just so much going on here. What do you say, Michael Hopkins? It seems like folks are just dealing with so much, and I'm sure that's no difference with regards to the veterans. So what do you have to say, Michael Hopkins, of Vet Talk Radio Show?
Wow, okay. You know, she was a young lady, too. And, you know, she had so much to give. It just looks like her career was taking off and so forth. And it reminds me so much of a lot of my veteran brothers and sisters. That a lot of us, you know, we had so much to give. We gave our all. And we were in situations, it's not like people choose to be in a combat situation. We don't choose to be in a combat situation. It just happens sometimes. And we bear the scars of those situations. A lot of us do. And I don't know if it's changed. I have to do the research on it. But in the VA community, it's called 22 a day. And basically what that means is they were 22 service members that just like that young lady that took their own lives.
Yes, Miss America, Chesley Crist. Yeah, real sad story. And also while we're talking about this particular topic, also the life of super actress Regina King's son also recently passed away. It looks like from the same type of illness. So these are things that, Michael, you and the Vet Talk Radio Show, your wonderful producers, Katrina, Noor, and Nicole, are talking about today as well on your show, coming up at about 8:30 Eastern right here. So we're shining the light on mental health. And I have to say, I do have to recount a very personal story. I've never shared this, certainly not on air or with anybody really. Not very many folks know of this. But I'll tell you, I had a very interesting situation that happened to me. I remember about right before the pandemic, you know, Miss Siobhan, who's always on the show, a great hairstylist out of New Jersey. She runs Roots Rock Salon, as you guys know. So she and I went down to, we flew to, just for the day, we flew from New York down to Atlanta, Georgia, to meet with one of my clients who was having an event down in Atlanta. And you guys remember Eileen, she's been on the show. She runs a wonderful business down called Nom de Nom. And for you guys in the Atlanta area, and she carries our hair products, my Carapi products and all of that. Anyway, get down there, have a great time. We're promoting, we're doing all kinds of wonderful stuff in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, literally just flew down for the day and flying back up to New York. So get back late that night at Newark Airport. And there was no way for me, you guys know I don't have vehicle just yet. In New York, you don't really need it. I live right at the subway stop. But what's so funny and also it's just so interesting is that they had canceled all of the transportation in the middle of the night, that there was no way I could figure out how to get back from Newark, New Jersey, where I flew into New York City. It's not all that far, but you have to cross water, folks, for those of you who are not in this area. And so there were quite a few folks who needed to get back to New York City. And we're all sitting around, had no idea that the last train from New Jersey to New York had been canceled. So all of these folks, none of us look related, if you know what I mean. Okay, so we're all sitting around trying to figure out what we're going to do. And one of the individuals who, again, it was just Miss Siobhan had gone back to her home. Her husband had picked her up, just so that you guys know. And so I was there by myself with all these strangers. So just wanted to give you that little update. And it was probably by that time, probably about midnight or so, 11:30, midnight, something like that, maybe a little later, because we thought that we were going to have train service into New York, or at least I thought I was going to have train service into New York. Anyway, as it turns out, one of the individuals had felt, okay, let's get Uber, and then let's get everybody to split, you know, maybe we can get a few people, because the guys heard us talking, started talking about this, and then everybody, about four or five of us, kind of got together in a car, and we decided to Uber from Newark Airport back into New York City and have the Uber kind of drop everybody off. So one of the gentlemen, we all load into the Uber, he does it on his card, so we all pile into the car, again, me with a car full of strangers, and about four or five other, hold on, let me see, one, two, so probably there were five of us all together with the driver. Let me see, one, two, three, four, yeah, it was about five of us, I think, something like that. And so we started talking about our lives. It's about a 40-minute trip in a car in the middle of the night and all that kind of stuff. And so we're talking about our lives. Each person started talking about their businesses and what they do. So one of the guys at a real estate company here in New York, and he and I still keep in touch to this day. And one of the other guys was a young kid. He kind of, you know, he was just getting a ride back to New York. So he chatted for a bit, and then there was another guy. There was myself, and I shared that I'm producing radio and talking on the air every day and blah, 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 as you guys know. And it was the gentleman who sat in the front seat, since he paid the, you know, he got the ride shotgun since he paid on his card. And he was saying that he's a great writer, and that he is. I remember he was talking about that he had just come in. We were talking about how we all ended up at the airport, and he said that he had been visiting his girlfriend and all this wonderful stuff, and they had some issues and things like that. But we went on. He was still sharing and talking about that he was a creative writer and administrator and all this other stuff. So we kept talking, and I said, well, you know what? I'm looking for an office assistant. And so why don't we all, you know, we'll exchange information, and you can swing on by, and we'll do an interview, or we'll talk and see if it's a match for us, especially being a writer of business information. I'm always looking for someone who is a professional writer, not a creative writer, but writing business documents, and this is what this gentleman specializes in. So I said, why don't you swing by the office here in Brooklyn? And so the first time I set up his interview, he cancels. I'm sorry, he doesn't even cancel. He just doesn't show up. So I kind of was like, I blew him off a little bit. Okay, well, that happens. And I don't know how it happened, but he contacted me a little later, I would imagine, maybe a couple days later or something like that. And so, and I said, well, okay, well, why don't we get together? Why don't you come by the office here? You guys know I'm in Brooklyn, New York, in Vincenhurst area of Brooklyn, as a matter of fact. And I said, why don't you come by? So this gentleman, amazing gentleman, is also a drummer. So he plays the drums in addition to all of this amazing creativity. And so swings by. And so if you guys could see me, I'm here in the studio. I'm literally looking at the spot where this wonderful fellow just sat right there and started telling me about his experience. He Ubered on over to my my wonderful office here and studio here in Brooklyn again and began to tell me. The first thing I said was, how come, you know, what happened to you the first interview? You were supposed to be here. Well, I'm glad you made it, but what happened to that interview? And Michael Hopkins, do you want to know what he said?
Oh, what did he say?
He said, I tried to commit suicide.
Wow, that would have blown me away.
He said, I tried to commit suicide. That's what he told me. And I looked at him in shock, because I've never had anybody, you're talking to Kerry Hines. My head is always down and the computers and working and reading and, you know, producing. So, and this is a young fella. This fella is clearly in his 20s still, mid-20s, easily. Not, definitely not quite 30, if so, exactly that age. And so when he said that to me, I kind of looked at him and I'm like, you what, you know, kind of thing. And I just said, well, that doesn't make any sense. He looks great. He's right sitting in front of me. There's nothing wrong with him. What's wrong? You look like you have everything. You're a writer, you do all these amazing things, you play the drums. He had just even that night left from performing to come and do a late night interview right here and to talk about joining us at Hair Radio. So we try to grab folks where we can at Hair Radio, as you guys know. So anyway, that conversation, I kind of just, honestly, I remember him saying that he tried to commit suicide, and I just kept right on talking, you know, pretty much like I do at a radio show. And so we went on. He passed me his resume, and we talked about his experience and what I'm looking for, et cetera, et cetera. And then we went into my big living room here, and we sat down, and he did a drum demonstration, which I have on video. I'll have to share that one of these days with you guys. And we kept on talking, and that was the end of that. And somehow, I don't remember what happened. This was a while ago, maybe about, like I said, right before the pandemic. So probably 2018, 2019. I'm sorry, not even that long ago. It was probably 2020, something like that. And so he was playing the drums and all that stuff was great here. And when he left, we didn't stay in such great company. I don't know what happened. All I know is that it was very quiet. So I said, you know, let me go take a look at this fellow's Facebook and see why I haven't heard anything. He's, you know, just doing a great job on the playing the drums and all this stuff. And when I got to his Facebook page and saw that someone had posted that a special tribute to him, and I then Googled him and saw the information about his death. And so it was just a sad, I never in my wildest dreams would have thought this young man would have ended his life. And I've never known anybody ever, personally, ever to do this. No one. And certainly not someone who's been in my house and sat down and told me they had. He literally flat out said that he attempted suicide just a few days earlier. That's what he said. Now, I'll tell you, Michael Hopkins, I had no idea, and I do want to tell people because I did not know him well. I just met him maybe a week or so before that, I think, by the time he finally got here. And just as a coincidence, I had no idea that someone could be suffering. And then I certainly did not know what to do. I had no idea what to do. It didn't say he was trying to commit suicide that night when I spoke with him, but he had said he had already, that's why he missed the first interview. So I didn't know if he was serious. I just didn't know what to think. And I didn't know the right steps to take. And so I just ignored it. And this young man, let me just say this, he was not of African-American descent that I could see, but he was not Caucasian. I remember him, perhaps he was a mix of something. I don't remember all of what he was, because again, I had known him. We just started chatting and so forth and thought he could be helpful. But Michael, it was something that I still carry to this day because I didn't know what to do, how to help, what to even say. And I often thought back, could I have done anything, which I doubt because this young man had already lived his life up to that point, and he was convinced he had already attempted to kill himself, and somehow he miraculously survived that attempt. And literally told me flat out about it when he did get here. And then so subsequently, he's gone. And just a tragic loss like all these other young folks. I don't quite understand what's happening to people. I think we need to talk about this kind of thing a little bit more. And again, and it's something that we don't talk about, particularly as much here in the African-American community. And I was devastated and I'm still devastated to think about it, even to this day. And so that is what has inspired me and to talk about mental health. And every time I hear one of these stories again in the wake of this awful tragedy with actress Regina King, you guys remember her from 227 and so many other shows when she was a little girl. Well, she's all grown up, and her son committed suicide just last week sometime. And here we are over the weekend with, Chesley's story here, right here in New York City. So that is just harrowing. And I look to her, Michael, and I say, someone like Chesley, in her case, we don't understand from the outside, just like with this young man who sat right here in front of me. They look like they've everything. I mean, what on earth? You know, what is it that is driving this? And in Chesley's case, we're looking at it from the outside. She's an attorney on a popular TV show who won Miss America. And just dropped dead gorgeous. articulate, smart, and all those things. And from our perspective, we're like, what on God's earth do you have to be unhappy about or have some level of mental illness? So I think it flies in the face. If this person has done something like this, what kind of hope is there for the rest of us? So that is my personal connection. That's the only thing I've ever known about suicide. I've never even heard of anybody committing suicide in my community. We have other issues, many other issues and things that we deal with, if I want to speak as a monolith for African Americans, but I'm not familiar with the suicide thing so much on a personal level. So that was my personal account and anecdote on this young man. And these folks, so we've got to do more, Michael Hopkins. We've got to do more.
That is quite true. That is quite true.
Because, is that
like,
not a story?
Like, you know, Karis, like you said, you kind of don't know what to do.
Not
like a lot of us get training in this.
No.
And I'm sure there's some type of training for suicide prevention. But it's not something, especially in our community, in the African-American community, that we that we have open discussions about.
Well, we can't. And then there's the layer of being a man versus a woman in terms of gender. We're supposed to be seen as strong and invincible and all of that. Do you want folks to know that you're battling things? I mean, some of us are private, Brother Michael. You know, well, Michael Hopkins of Vet Talk Radio. We don't want folks to know that we're having a bad time or a difficult time, that we're facing challenging moments, right?
And you know, Carrie, I find that a lot in the veteran community when we start discussing mental health issues. And a lot of the veterans, as you just said, it's a strength, it's a pride thing, especially on the male side of the house, because that's what we've been conditioned to do, being military people. We've been conditioned to suck it up, to keep going, the mission. We're mission-oriented people. And when it comes to things like this, they're actually, sometimes there's some units that a lot of the people are in, especially the males. If you're in what we call hardcore units, or your infantry type units, your combat arms, those type of units, it's actually frowned upon for you to go on any type of sick call or any type of injury call to the hospital. It's actually frowned upon. So a lot of times, a lot of those guys don't have a lot of stuff in their medical records. So they turned up 20, 30 years later with not only physical issues, they turn up with mental issues. And it's the same thing with a lot of the females that are in the military. A lot of times, it's just coming to light, Carrie Hines, about military sexual trauma.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about that as well. I want to get into some of the things that I look out my window here in Brooklyn, and being an African-American male here in New York and in this country. And I just want to first preface this by saying we love all people. We treat everybody equally here. We are not just promoting, one race ever over another. We are all human and belong to the same race. And with that being said, I'm particularly struck, and today being February 1st, as we kick off Black History Month, we are live, folks. I want to say this. And this is something that we don't talk about, which I think is relevant and related, and that is that for me, this is, I'm Carrie Hines, and may not be shared by anybody else, this sentiment, but I think most African-Americans are dealing with some form of PTSD, and I do. I really believe that to be the case, and this is something that we did not sign up for, but to be constantly bombarded with things beyond our control in a society that does not so openly support Black causes, in my personal opinion. I'm not asking for anybody else's sign off on it. This is what I say. There are strides. It's, you know, we see the Black Lives Matter. We see all of that weighing in and helping to shed the light on so many things. But let's call it what it is. And you're not going to hear this talk on regular television channels because those channels are not necessarily owned by African Americans. Like the lady Maggie Anderson always says, we have less than 3% of the black-owned supply. I'm sorry, 3% of the supply stores that are in our communities, if not less. And so we don't control any of the media content and the things that are put out, and it's a whole. It's an onslaught of things that we don't control, and our stories are just not being told the way that they should be necessarily. It's gotten better in front of the camera, but believe it or not, nothing's really changed all that much behind the scenes. So what you get is not truly authentic that's helping Black causes. And so I believe that there's a big, big thing about mental illness, and you see so much of it. And unfortunately, that feeds into the narrative of, you know, Black crime and all this other stuff that appears on the surface to be something that, you know, is created by Blacks. But when you really peel back the layers, you can really connect the dots all the way back to slavery. And so, and the impact that it has had. And all the way up to now with the violence and guns and all that stuff that's out of control here in America and the politicians, which seem to not do anything really, nothing about it, to period. They're a stalemate on everything else. And they don't seem to take the action that's needed to make changes that will affect our community. So I believe, as a result of this, that Black folks, I think we are dealing with these kind of things. On top of a pandemic, let's not forget that, Brother Michael, on top of the pandemic.
No, cannot forget that.
So so all of that, folks, and we appreciate you guys kind of helping me listening to this wonderful live talk on this subject. I'm hoping and praying that, you know, we'll move the needle forward, and I think we're doing our part here on this broadcast. So, Michael, I'm going to let you get yourself together and all set. You'll be back with us at about 8:30, so in about a little less than a half hour, with today's installment. I think it's like your 23rd show of Vet Talk Radio Show. So I'm so excited. We want you guys to stay with us. You've got some exciting talk. You don't have to be a veteran to enjoy the show, so definitely stay with us. We have about an hour to go this morning here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And Michael, I have to say, all I can say, folks, is just stay with us. And, you know, let me just remind everybody, use this as an opportunity to remind everybody, if you have not signed up for membership at our website, www.hairadio.com, there's one R in the middle of that. So we pronounce it Hair Radio, but it's HAIRadio.com. So go there, sign up for a free account so that you'll know and be able to read some of the back, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, be able to connect with our guests, everybody else. I'm going to make sure we have some information there along with the suicide number and all these other things, some links that you can get some help if warranted. Listen, folks. We're going to shift gears a bit, so just stay with us. We've got some hair talk coming up with, you guys have heard her before. I'm real happy about it. Her name is Ahaba Felicidad. So grab your cup of coffee and stay with us. We've got more of the show to go. Thank you, Michael.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and today we have another great guest with us. Her name is Ahava Felicidad. She's from the state of New Jersey. Ahava, I'd like to welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure to have you with us, and I want to jump right on in. Tell everyone about your salon and what you do.
Well, it's called Ahava Felicidad Hair and Body, what I call a growing holistic care organization, and it is headquartered in Upper Montclair, New Jersey at Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad. So it's a cozy studio space located in the town where I actually grew up in, so I'm a native of Montclair. And what services are offered here range from consultations, which include regimens and product recommendations, hair practice and care, sharing hair stories and finding out more about growing back hair from hair loss or breakage and just taking better care of hair. We also provide styling, so I do scalp hair and styling here at the studio as well, mix and make natural products, have some distributor products here that are all natural and organic for, you know, anyone who's just maybe new on the journey or they've been on the journey for a while and they want to take everything they do to the next level. I also offer classes, so technique classes and also certificate classes for professionals and for clients.
Now, what kinds of classes do you offer?
The classes that are offered range from classes like two-strand and three-strand twisting, cornrows classes. There's one particular class that is called the Soft Style Trio. It's a new class where clients can come in and learn how to do French rolls, make mini buns, what we call thin buns, and make pineapples in the hair, and that way they can care for their hair and do some styling in between sessions. There are also classes on cylinders and microlinking, so braidless weaving techniques.
Tell us a little bit more about that, if you will.
Well, the classes on cylinders, that's really exciting because it is a technique that I find more so it's not talked about as often to cross over into working with kinky, curly, and wavy hair. It's a technique that you see most times just on done on straight hair or hair that is has been relaxed. So this class that we offer goes over how to work in natural hair and who you can provide cylinders for if their hair is not strong enough for braiding in a traditional weave with the weft and the person wants to get their scalp. They also want to have a look that lasts a little bit longer than maybe a traditional weave or a crochet would. And we talk about in the class and train on how to care for the hair, what types of cylinders or hair would be installed for the client, and go over how to care for the hair as well as educate the clients on how to care for the hair.
Now, you have got to tell us, Ahava, how did you get started in this business and you know, what inspired you so much to be so passionate about this?
I've been doing hair since I was a child. So I would say this goes back really far. We'll say middle school for the extension, but I actually started braiding my own hair around the age of 5.
Oh, my
now,
goodness.
Yes, been doing hair for a long time. Then I started helping other people with their hair in middle school. And I would say I do have a cousin who put extensions in my hair, and I felt what she did. And then I just began doing this. Now, the passion came from a mentor that I have. And the mentor, my mentor, Dr. Brown, told me, well, you know, you love to do hair. This is what you do. You do this really well. You know, he watched me with a few clients and said, well, this is where you need to go. This is where you need to be. I see that you're very happy when you do this, because I am very happy when I'm working in hair. So around 2009, I started really doing more consultations. But I would say even all through undergrad, I did hair. And I assisted and gave recommendations on hair care even before I transitioned to natural. So hair is just inherently, it's just an innate thing in me. For anyone who's what I call a part of any type of collective, there'd be a collective group of artists. And I had a conversation with a client about this actually today when she said to me, well, when did you learn how to do three strands? Or when did you learn and how did you learn that? Did you see someone else do it? And I said, well, no, actually, one day I was working in hair and it just came to me to try three strands going in one direction. And then after that, I looked it up and saw that there were a few people doing this online. I went through all the ways that this technique can help with natural hair. And then I just continue to learn from there and let things come to me. And then I'll find out, oh, there's a few other people who may do this, but they're doing this on their own hair, not in practice to take care of others. So I actually will do this on my own hair and in practice to take care of others and help them to help to take care of themselves.
Wow. So you have to say that this is really serving as an inspiration for others.
Yes, and I have been told that, but I've been an inspiration. I've been an inspiration for many women going natural, an inspiration for naturals to do more with their natural hair, because I have been told, well, this is amazing. You actually help us. You'll teach us, and you'll do our hair. Like, we never find anyone who does that, because they, you know, everyone may not have that teacher in them. And actually still have, you know, the teacher in me where I want to share, and I want the legacy to carry on and to grow. And without sharing it, that won't happen.
I agree. Now, you did touch on this a little while ago, but I want to find a little bit more details about this, because I honestly had never heard of the cornrow certification. Would you be kind enough to share with our listeners a little bit more detail about that? I think that would be great.
Yes. Okay. So I've just recently created a cornrow certification, class, or actually program. So I have three levels of teaching how to cornrow. Now, of course, someone would already have an affinity for and some skills with braiding or creating cornrows. So most people who are coming to a certificate class of this nature or program already know how to braid, and then they're just looking to go to the next level. So I have a basic class, which would be called Natural Hair Newbie. In all of the programs, there's a natural, like an intro, which we call a novice, an intermediate, or an advanced. So with this cornrow cert program, there's actually an intro where you're practicing cornrows and you're required to actually do cornrows going straight back in several different number of cornrows. Then in level two, we go over everything we went over in level one as far as care and styling and, you know, how to co-wash the hair, things about caring for natural hair and transitioners. The next level of cornrows requires more intricacy. So we would do shapes and zigzags and crisscrossing and mandalas and things of that nature. The level above that's an advanced level that would be more for like couture and runway, where I love to work with copper and ribbon and hemp cord and satin cord, and so do others. And then they would learn how to install feathers, how to install ribbons, how to loop through on a crochet technique, satin cord to create accents in the hair. We also do threading with yarn or with thread, even silk thread, silk hair tinsel, you know, like fun hands-on accessories that will go in the hair for the very artistic styles. So you get everything with the three-part cornrows class. So cornrows are something that aren't traditionally taught extensively in a beauty program. That's something that's inherent, cultural, spiritual, educational, it's emotional, you just, the more you practice, the better you're going to get. So the CERT program allows the practice and the longevity, and also then me being right there to say, okay, this is, you're doing really well, and then anyone else who's on our team that's a cornrows expert would be able to help and promote and support these designs, and then you're tested on, you know, the skills and then also the hair care knowledge.
Well, Ahava, we have got to tell everyone how to find you.
Oh, definitely. It's so easy to find me. The number into the studio, there's a studio mobile. It's 973-619-2855. There's also a second line, which is a dedicated line for Team Natriotic. So that's team members who are patriots for, loyal to the natural hair movement and everything natural and chemical-free. And also for other services that would provide, including body wrapping. That number is 201-921-9894. You can also find myself and then any post that I make or pages for Ahava Felici Dodd Hair and Body at ahavafelicidodd.wordpress.com. And that blog actually functions as a website. We have a Facebook page. The Facebook page has some great albums of some foundation clients. So clients who've been with me since the beginning of the journey, you'll find pictures of them in different albums, and it'll show befores and afters. You can also find me on YouTube at Ahava Felici Dodd, the holistic hair healer. There are some fun YouTube videos on there. It's not
just hair.
Yes,
I watched
hair.
One or two, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a nice, well-rounded view of me and then other interactions with me and clients. And, of course, more videos to come and some things that may be like tutorials, but more of hair healing experience and getting to know me as a person.
Well, I have to say, from all that I'm learning, and you've done quite a bit. You've got quite a few things going on out there. But I love your commitment to those who are transitioning. And,
yes.
You know, it's, yes. Please speak to that, because you're really able to, I think that, you know, especially for a lot of the women, that they'll be able to really relate, and they can relate, and I think that you really have walked so much and created such a path, and I just wanted you to speak to this art of transitioning and so forth.
The transitioning.
Yeah.
There are going to be women that are just not ready for the big chop. I call it, it's called the big chop. I call it the leap of faith. When I actually cut my hair, I called it going turkey, and this was in the late 90s. Yeah, that's what we call it, the going cold turkey. Like when you quit something, you go cold turkey. And then natural movement began to blossom, and this big chop concept came in. So I feel like I was one of those naturals at the very beginning of this next influx of transitioning and going natural. Transitioners need assistance with everything. So what happens is, because the scalp is now detoxing from chemicals, a lot of women transitioning experience an extreme amount of itching and flaking. And that's coming from detoxing and the body detoxing from now stopping the chemical relaxer.
Mm.
You need help with that, and you want to talk to someone, and they'll, of course, come to talk to me about what's happening, and I'll help them to get hydrated on structured water. Also, sugar scrubbing the scalp. Transitioners need to know their options on transitioning. So I will have the consult and say, okay, well, this is your hair texture and density, if I can see it. If they have about 3 inches, that's when we can really see more of the texture. One inch to 2 inches may not be enough. Most transitioners, it's really going to depend on their lifestyle. So if they like a particular hairstyle, we have to go over, well, what types of styles do you like? What types of styles do you need for work? And we have this conversation about texture, density, length, and if they can rod set to transition, if they can blow out and ceramic press to transition, if they can 2-strand flat twist or 3-strand flat twist to transition. They may be able to braid or crochet, which is my favorite technique, and I would say I'm a crochet queen. I love doing crochet because crochet is another way for transitioners to make a smooth transition when they want longer hair or they just want this particular look that, you know, they may not be able to get with their natural hair right away, but then cornrows are placed as a foundation and different hairs or fibers are looped under the cornrow and tied to create like a full head weave. This can also be done with partials. So we have the conversation about the journey. We go over the entire, you know, the if you grow half an inch of hair in a month, in 2 months you're going to have an inch. In 6 months, you know, the average person grows, in 6 months the average person's going to have about 3 inches of hair, in a year, six. So quantifying that and also giving quality to that experience helps naturalists to connect with expectations, like managing an expectation of, well, how fast my hair is going to grow, and then what styling options I want to try. And then they get to just start having fun with that. And then we'll gradually trim ends. As the hair grows out, they can just trim. So some naturals, it may be 5 months. Others can transition 18 months or longer. It's so much based on their hair texture and density. Not as much the length, but texture and density are going to play a part in how long they can take the transition.
Well, they've got the perfect partner. If you've just joined
us,
you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we've got with us Ahava Felici Dodd. Now, I love this, and your shop, again, is called, it's Studio Pure by Ahava Felici Dodd.
Yes, Studio Pure by Ahava Felici Dodd. And the buy comes from the experience. So there are different hair healing experiences that also take place at the studio. So that's the buy, because there are experiences that are being created here. Even some of the rod sets have names. There are classic deep treatments, and there are Renaissance deep treatments. Renaissance comes from my favorite time period in history, the Harlem Renaissance. Of course, then there's also the Renaissance period for classical music, and that's where the classical or classics came in. It's from my love of classical music. So I said, well, you know, what are my standards? My standards are classics. And then we'll have classic essentials. We have classic carrier oils. We have classic deeps. A classic deep will be a sugar scrub with an oil and a natural conditioner. A Renaissance deep will have three or more essential oils, and it's an aromatherapy experience, because I also do aromatherapy and essential oil therapies. And that's all a part of the Studio Pure experience.
Yes. Now, it sounds that way. Now, I think we mentioned the name, but we didn't tell everybody again where it is. And I want to make sure they have your address and the phone number, or however they need to come out, because you make it sound so great.
Yes, it's great. Now, everything at the studio is an exclusive session. So everything that's here is by appointment, or by what's called by reservation. So clients will call in to reserve. There's also the option to get a gift certificate, and then you get a gift certificate, and then you call in to reserve. So the studio is located at 260 Bellevue Avenue in Upper Montclair. It's on the second floor inside the movie theater building. So I'm in a building with a historic building, actually, with the Bellevue Movie Theater.
We're
inside there. So you won't see it just from the street. You would have to call in, and then on the blog it tells you how to get in, where to park and everything when you're coming in for services. When there are open house events, those go out to the client list, and then they're also posted on the blog, places like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It could also be announced in a YouTube video if there's going to be an open house. So I would like to one day soon to be able to offer like some open store hours to just come in. And it's also a space for natural artists. So there are walls, plenty of walls here for anyone who's in the natural community and also does art. In order to expand us out culturally, events like that can be hosted at the studio.
Wow. Sounds so creative, of course, obviously.
Yes.
Well, listen, I tell you, you are just doing some dynamic things. Now, what's next for you? You've accomplished so much. What's next?
What's next for me? Okay, that's a great one. What's next for me would be to create another certificate program. Maybe do some television.
Fun.
That would be fun. Well, I love the certificate programs, because I get to teach others how to improve their skills, advance their skills, and help more people. So that part is very important to me, is continuing on the creating the programs and then, of course, filling those programs so that more natural stylists have the concept. And it's the Ahava Felicidad concept. So they're also being taught what I do. So if someone wants to learn more about essential oils, they can learn that. They can come in at different levels and decide, you know, well, how far you want to go with what you're going to offer. And then it could also be someone who wants to join the team. And what's next will be another series in May, if not May, maybe June, of eHow videos. I also am an eHow presenter, so I'm a hair expert there. And I've just run a series of 10 titles on styling wavy curly hair. The next series will be on kinky hair, some with lock
twisting. And how do they see those videos?
Those videos will be released in about 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And they'll be released on they'll be released on eHow soon.
Okay. Sounds great to me. Well, listen, I have to tell you, you're just doing so many wonderful things, and we want to take a moment to really say thank you. You are a trailblazer.
Thank
you. You really are. And you're doing some good things. So, listen, from the Hair Radio Show, did you have anybody that you want to shout out to or mention?
I want to thank God. I want to thank God first, my family, and, of course, the makers of Dr. Brown's Healing Water, which has helped me further myself and continue to help me further myself on the journey and helping others with their hair and scalp care, their energy, you know, keeping me in good health as a, you know, well-rounded businesswoman, mother, entrepreneur, speaker, motivator. Yeah, I would like to thank them. And thank you, of course, for the opportunity to interview.
Well, listen, it's really been my pleasure. And you keep doing what you're doing. Okay?
Thank you.
We're not going to have it any other way.
We can't have it any other way, and it's terrific Tuesday.
Thank you. Well, Ahava, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community, my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. Just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that will help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk.
All right, folks, we're back live. It's Tuesday morning, February 1st of 2022. It's our show number 664 for the Hair Radio Morning Show. If it is Tuesday morning and it's 8:30, it's time to get started, as you guys just heard, with Vet Talk Radio Show. Let's get the intro going.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
All right. I want to bring to the line the one and only, the host and creator, co-creator of this great broadcast. I want to welcome all of your amazing fans. But first, Michael Hopkins, good morning. And it's Vet Talk Radio Show, your show number, I believe, number 23, as you guys march to your own celebration at show number 25 coming up soon. So good morning and happy Tuesday.
Good morning, Carrie Hines, and happy Tuesday to you also. I cannot believe that it's show number 23, man. It's like a dream. Wow.
Yes. Yes, and let's officially welcome your fans. You have an amazing plethora of veterans who tune into your broadcast. So, as always, I want to give them a salute and to thank them for their service to this country, and especially this month. What do you say to that, Michael?
Oh, yes, I say tenfold.
Awesome.
Yes, yes, just thanking all the fans of Vet Talk. And, you know, Carrie, we have to include your fans also, too.
the Hair Radio Morning Show, folks.
Right.
Yes.
And like we always say, you don't have to be a veteran to be a part of Vet Talk. You just have to be a caring and concerned person about the nation's veterans here.
Exactly. The people
just about
who
everybody.
Have stood up for us, right?
Yeah, it's just about everyone has somebody in their family that's a veteran.
Yes.
And that's what Vet Talk is all about. About supporting the men and women who put that uniform on, sometimes going to harm's way. And when they get back, we just want to salute them, thank them, and help them navigate through all of this. That's what Vet Talk Radio is all about.
Well, let me say, you have done just that, and particularly on today's live broadcast. Again, it's Tuesday, February 1st, folks, of 2022. And I'm Carrie Hines with Michael Hopkins, and he is the official host and co-creator of this absolutely amazing broadcast. And again, welcoming all the vets to today's show. Now, Michael, you usually uncover your big lead-in segment is usually uncovering some amazing things that we didn't know about the claims process. Today's no exception. What do you have for us and the vets of for today's broadcast?
Well, today, Carrie, I was sitting there and I kept thinking, I'm a veteran, so how do veterans think about this whole claims process, or how do they get involved in it, or how do they not get involved in it? So what I've done, I came up with some things that the way veterans think. And a lot of times there are some top reasons why veterans must file for claims, Kerry Hines. There are some top reasons they must file. Top reasons they must file. And let's just get on into it right now, Kerry Hines.
Sure.
One of the things that came to mind when I was looking at this, a lot of times veterans actually are under the impression that they are too old to file for claims for compensation as a veteran. Believe it or not, Kerry.
Why would someone think they're too old?
It's just one of those myths sometimes in the veteran community that if you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, 90 years old, and you're a veteran, then you kind of pass your prime when it comes to
your time has gone by
claim.
Already. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
How
but in
that?
Reality, Kerry, it's not true. I've had veterans in their 80s.
In their 80s?
Their 80s that have filed for claims. And believe
wow.
it or not, they can still win.
Amazing.
It has nothing to do with your age. The fact
that's got to be a big one, Michael.
Oh yeah, that's a big win for a lot of veterans. That
wow.
it nothing to do with your age, and believe it or not, Kerry, another myth that's out there is that you're too young to file. Can you imagine that? We go for extreme. Right.
Wow.
We have some of our younger veterans that are in their 20s. And maybe in their 30s, early 30s, mid-30s, and they think they're too young to file for compensation.
I would think that might make sense because they're thinking that they got to wait till they retire or closer to retirement age. They're still young, so they're not thinking that this is something that might be pressing or that they should get started. Wow, that's deep, Brother Michael. So you're from one extreme to the other.
To the other, yeah. And I've had some younger veterans, younger ones in their 20s, in their 30s, and that's how they literally think, Kerry. It's funny because it's, and believe it or not, sometimes it's harder for me to convince these guys to file than it is for the guys in my group that are in their mid 60s, late 60s, early
70s. So it's harder to convince the younger ones that they need to file.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow,
and I've never figured
deep.
That one out, but it's kind of funny that
wow.
the younger guys that participated in the last two campaigns that we've had here in America, a lot of the services, believe it or not, Kerry, have come about because of their service. A lot of the newer programs that the VA has come out with within the last 15, 20 years is because of the younger veterans and the service that they did. And the lobbying, believe it or not, a lot of the older veterans lobbied for a lot of this stuff through other organizations, but it was because of the younger veterans. And I've been in meetings where sometimes the older veterans are in tears because of the way they were treated when they got out of the military. And they tell these young guys, we're not just doing this just for us. We're doing this for you because you're the future
wow.
generation of veterans. And a lot of these services, a lot of these things, you guys earned. Maybe we did our blood, sweat, and tears, and we had to go through a lot just to get America to recognize us, but now we're recognized as veterans. And we want to make sure you guys do not go through what we went through as veterans. A lot of my fellow veteran brothers and sisters, that's where they are with that right now.
Well, Michael, it just reminds me, being a person on the outside of the veterans world and listening to you every week on the Vet Talk Radio Show and all of your fans, you know, and even the folks, you know, the Angels panel and what they have to contribute. Of course, they'll be coming up in a bit. But it just reminds me in America where the folks, you know, there's always this generational thing where we're pitting younger folks against the knowledge and experience of those who have come before. And it just reminds me that we've got to do better as a society in America to recognize we've got to learn to appreciate and respect the folks who've come before us. And that's something that needs to be reinforced through media and through the discourse that happens throughout America's television and magazines and things like that. It's the culture of America to kind of set aside someone's experience who knows better and knows more and have been through things. If we teach our young to respect and appreciate older folks and folks who have contributed things to America, I think we would have a better outcome in general. So that's what you're, you know, that's what it means to me. So I appreciate you really talking about this age thing. And I'm still shocked. Some too old, some too young, think that they should not do a claim or file claims. Amazing. Oh, what else have you got for us on the your amazing list this morning, Michael Hopkins?
And you know, Carrie, believe it or not, there are veterans out there that they filed many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And they would deny, they would turn down. And that sort of put like a sour taste in their mouth as far as, you know, the claims process and so forth. And sometimes in my travels or just talking to older veterans like myself, some of them many times just feel as though, well, I filed before and, you know, I'm just not going to file again. It's painful. It hurt. They denied me. I know these things happen. So, you know what? I'm just not gonna file again. That's just a part of my life. I'm just going to move on from it. It's okay.
Wow.
And it's very, to myself, Carrie, it's very hurtful for me to hear a veteran say something like that. And I've had many of them say that to me, you know, one veteran to another. And they just express their outrage, their hurt, sadness, and so forth. But you know what, Carrie Hines?
What's that?
There's hope for them also, too.
That's what I was about to say. What could be done? It sounds so like there's no hope. Is the hope in filing, or is there some message that we can tell them?
Oh, the message we can tell them, Carrie, is this. Things have changed as far as the VA, that whole Office of Veteran Affairs, the claims process. A lot of things have changed over the last, just recently, believe it
better.
Or not, since 2019, it's changed for the better. And
great.
Through a lot of lobbying, through a lot of the veterans organizations here in this great country that we live in, a lot of things have changed for veterans. Right now,
awesome.
Carrie, just to give you a quick example, years and years and years ago, a lot of the U.S. Navy veterans that served gallantly in Vietnam, sometimes they weren't recognized for having Agent Orange, the effects of Agent Orange.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Unbelievable.
I remember that story.
They were in country, and they weren't recognized as being exposed to Agent Orange, to defoliants, and that's basically what Agent Orange, there are a few other ones, but it's a defoliant. It was supposed to deny the enemy cover and concealment. That's what it was supposed to deny the enemy, the NVA or the North Vietnamese and so forth. Well, what has happened over the years, people begin to recognize that, hey, these guys served in Vietnam. There was it was called a Blue Water Navy and a Brown Water Navy. And, you know, one day we'll get all into that. But briefly, it just has to do with where you served in Vietnam and you were in the Navy. Now it's being recognized that all of these veterans that served in Vietnam were exposed to chemicals. And they filed and they got denied. Now it's gotten better where if they've already filed, they can go back and file again and get recognized.
Wow.
And get paid. Don't give up hope
if you've been rejected is what you're
saying. Right, yeah.
Wow.
They should not give up. Some of these guys are in their 70s, 80s, and they're being recognized. For the wrong that happened to them when they filed back when they were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. They're getting recognized now. And a lot of times these guys are getting back pay or retro pay, as we call it in the veteran community, for the pain and suffering that they had and for the rejection that they got from the VA. So it's turning out to be a beautiful thing. It's turning out to be a great thing for a lot of our older veteran brothers and sisters.
Wow, that sounds
like it. In the military back then. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's lots of things that's been happening. There's what's called a legacy system, and one day we're going to cover that also, too, in a future broadcast. We're going to be talking about the legacy system, and I mean, it's gotten better. Is it perfect, Kerry Hines? Of course not. Will it be perfect?
No.
Your guess is good as mine. But it's getting much better, especially for our older veterans, which in turn will make it better for the younger veterans.
Well,
so,
I am so happy to hear that Michael Hopkins is on the case. You're kind of like the Morley Safer for the vets. You know, I have to really say, you are no joke, sir. You are keeping folks informed and involved in the process. And I learned some things today. I mean, you had me at the older and the younger stuff. And then hearing that folks have been denied in the past. And like anything else, if you reject it, you tend to be, you know, you walk away a little, you know, mentally or, you know, in your mind, you're a little bit hurt from that. So you might not be so inclined to follow up again. And then even if you do, you're thinking back of, you know, the time you were rejected. So, Michael, we need to be reminded of these things, and that's what you're doing on today's edition of the Vet Talk Radio Show. Again, we're live on this Tuesday morning, February 1st of 2022. Just amazing stuff. So, Michael Hopkins, I'm going to let you continue. I want to also, a little bit later, I'll remind everybody to, if you are tuned into this broadcast, we have the amazing hairradio.com website, hairadio.com. Remember, it has one R. You've got the Vet Talk Radio page right there. There's a big old tab at the top of the website. Again, when you go there, keep in mind that's a different streaming network that plays Hair Radio classic shows around the clock. So it's at the top of the page also. But more importantly, you have the Vet Talk Radio page tab right there where you can follow up. And, of course, you can register for free at hairradio.com to become a member. So, Michael, what else do you have on your list today?
Well, believe it or not, Carrie, a lot of veterans out here under the false belief, and that false belief is in order for you to file for a claim for compensation, you have to be a combat veteran. There are a lot of veterans that believe that, hey, I wasn't in combat, I didn't go overseas like the rest of you guys did, I just stayed here stateside. And so therefore, since I was stateside, I may have gotten hurt or something happened to me when I was active duty, but don't count. I wasn't out there, you know, shooting and ducking the enemy and all that. And once again, it is so untrue. I am here to say filing for claim
so
for compensation.
That is awesome, and, Michael.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with your combat experience. And I try to equate it to a lot of my veteran brothers, sisters like this. Did you put a uniform on? There's only two ways to answer that question, yes or no. Most people answer it yes. My other one is, did you serve your country for a prescribed number of years? Once again, two ways to answer that, yes or no. Once we get past those two things, Kerry Hines, they're okay with me. It does not matter where you served as a veteran, and was it combat, non-combat? Did you get injured and or have an illness while you were in service of this great country of ours on active duty? That is the main question. Will your records or your service treatment records, as we call them as veterans, will your service treatment records reflect that something happened to you where? While you were on active duty. That's what counts. And I want all the veterans out here that can hear me, I want them to understand that. That's what counts. You served your country. Something happened to you while you were serving your country. You're supposed to get compensated. It does not matter when you went in, how you went in. None of that counts. What counts is you served your country, you got injured, and or you had a sickness or an injury. That's what counts, Kerry Hines.
That is amazing. Well, we're going to have to put folks in touch with you as well, Michael Hopkins, on giving the support offline, away from the show sometimes, because folks have issues. I mean, these are some big things. You really uncovered some things for me today, and I'm not even a veteran. But you really uncovered some, I mean, the common sense things that I would have been exactly in those tranches that you just described. I would have felt exactly the way that you have just told us not to feel. So I appreciate hearing that, and I'll pass it along to my veterans and my family, and, you know, and just, you know, try to hope for the best. But I thank you for this. Wow. Okay.
Right.
Anything else you want to add to that, Brother Michael?
Oh, yes. Yes. It is just, I love serving veterans. I just, you know, I don't know any other way to say it. I feel so good about what I do here. And once again, Kerry Hines, this is me and the fans of Vet Talk that are veterans, my angels. We're just thanking you for opening this door for us. We love and appreciate you, my brother.
If it wasn't for
you, there are so many veterans I would not have the opportunity to touch. And to talk to, and just share things with them. And I I'm just going to make this real quick. I actually have some of my veteran brothers that are from, it's called Veteran On Board. It's right here in the Fredericksburg area. And they're actually sharing with me live some questions. But right now we just can't, because we're getting ready to switch gears.
Well, we'll get the questions on, sure. Do you have one quick one, Michael Hopkins, that we can respond to?
Yes, I do. I'm just looking at the magic phone.
This is exciting, folks. Live radio. Okay.
And I have this one from one of my vet brothers, Dave. He says, can you explain the process for appealing a recent decision? Wow. I could, but it would take a while, Brother Dave.
Well, give us a sentence just now, and then we'll put it on our website at hairradio.com.
Oh, okay, just the short version of it, Kerry, real quick.
Very short, 30 seconds, and then we'll put the rest
seconds.
On the website.
You actually have three ways to appeal a decision. One is basically what you would do in that case If you didn't believe what they said, what the VA said, and you think you have something different, you would put in what's called a supplemental. Basically, a supplemental claim basically is you give them new evidence that says, hey, no, here's some new evidence you don't have. The second thing you could do, if you didn't believe, if you wanted to appeal, you would go ahead and you would file for what's called a high-level review. The person that's actually doing your packet, you don't agree with that person, so you want somebody over top of them to look at it, like a supervisor, somebody has more experience. The third thing you could do, if you really don't believe any of this and you think that you have a winning claim, you actually could go to what's called the BVA or the Board of Veteran Appeals. You could file to them with more evidence, and you can go in front of what's called law judges. And what they do, they just represent the VA, but they represent the laws as far as the VA is concerned and the rules, the regulations, et cetera. Those are your three options that you have as a veteran.
And we will get this up at the website at hairradio.com under the Vet Talk Radio Show tab, I should say. All right, let me thank you, Michael, for that information and the gentleman who wrote in, the vet who wrote in to ask you that question. Real good stuff. All right, let's get on your backup folks, your stars of, I'm going to say your co-stars of the show on Vet Talk Radio Show. We're, of course, are talking about Katrina Nicole Noor, who are great members of the Hair Radio Morning Show team and family, but most importantly, they're Michael's Angels panel, known as CNN, again, for Katrina Nicole and Noor. I love that. Good morning, guys. You're on with Michael, myself, and I just wanted to say hello and to talk with you a little bit on Black History Month kickoff. I know you wanted to say some things. So I think we have with leading off with Noor Jahan this morning. Noor Jahan, is there anything you can just give us a quick sentence that we could get on real fast, 10 seconds, on what Black History Month kicking off means to you?
Sure. Good morning, Carrie. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Black History Month to me is just an extra way for us to celebrate the things that we have done in our culture, because some things
awesome.
Are left out, you know, in the natural way. So we have a whole month. It's still not enough because there's so much stuff for Black History Month.
Awesome. I'm loving what you just said. Thank you for that. Katrina, out of Texas.
Hello.
Hello, Katrina. Yes.
Black History means to me is to get to know our heritage and our cultural and understand, like, where we come from and to be able to teach it to our children that's coming up for today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I totally agree. And Nicole from Water Valley, Mississippi.
Good morning.
Nicole, yes, good morning. So what would you like to say, Nicole? And you've really done quite a bit of research on all of these things. But what would you like to say this morning?
Yes. To me, Black History Month means remembering and honoring our ancestors and the pioneers that came before us. And just celebrating those achievements and their legacy and just making sure that that legacy continues. And it's very important for us and for the future generations to know where we came from.
Absolutely. And I just want to say to Michael Hopkins, and Nicole, thank you for that. Okay, thank you so much. Noor Jahan, Noor, you heard from her. She's from Clarksville, Tennessee. Nicole from Water Valley, Mississippi. And, of course, Katrina out of Paris, Texas. And, Michael, you are down in Spotsylvania. Let's give you the last word. Okay, anything quickly you want to say to the vets this morning in closing out? Thank you, Angel.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you're welcome.
Sir. Once again, my veteran brothers and sisters, it's all about the vets here on Vet Talk Radio. That's what this thing is all about. It's all about you guys, the veterans who proudly serve this country.
All right. Brother Michael, I have to say, just a quick reminder to your folks, please go to hairradio.com. It doesn't end now. We have our 24-hour broadcast radio network playing. You'll hear some of the classic vet talk shows there. You'll hear some of our hair radio talk there. You'll hear music and all of that. And we'll see you back here next Tuesday for another edition live of the Vet Talk Radio Show. Here's the outro. Make it an awesome, awesome Tuesday, everybody. We'll see you back here in the morning at 6 for the next Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Have a great day.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.